Hello, everyone. Before we get started, just a quick apology. There was some technical issues with our recording. So within the first minute or two, you'll hear a few audio glitches that I could not edit out. Sorry. Hello, my name is Chris Kies. I'm a filmmaker from Nashville, Tennessee, and I am a Class 4 apparition.
I'm Rick Fox, aspiring author, and I ain't afraid of no ghost.
And I'm Brandon Ipok. I'm a lifelong Ghostbuster, and I'm an aspiring filmmaker and writer from Nashville, Tennessee. And I am a level 3 full torso vaporous apparition.
And we're
opinionated.
All right, guys, what the hell are we watching today?
Ghostbusters 2016!
Yay! We have a gift. We see what no one else is willing to see. We do things others can't do.
Ghostbusters.
If there's a paranormal problem, we're the ones to answer the call.
Hello.
The most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Ooh, all right. Ghostbusters 2016 was directed by Paul Feig. It stars Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones. It currently has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 73%. And it is either called Ghostbusters 2016 or Ghostbusters Answer the Call. Your guess is as good as mine. It's not super clear, but that's what we're watching today. It's still in theaters, so we're going to have our typical spoiler free review for the first half of this podcast, and then we'll go into a stream of consciousness rant regarding our just general spoiler-filled thoughts on the entire movie. So, with all of that being said, I'd like to open with a question that I will posit to you three. Oh, but first, just wanted to welcome Brandon. This is his first podcast.
Yay, Brandon!
And Brandon's a unique case. He's actually a fan that is nearby, indeed. You know, and we work together a lot. So I was like, you know what? Brandon should be on the Ghostbusters podcast. It would be wrong if we're not here.
And if you guys out there in, you know, Radio Land want to give us $1,000 like he did, you know, you're also welcome to come join on the podcast.
I did not know about that. Where did that go?
I mean, $4.
That was a secret.
I'll split the $4 with you,
it's like
Chris.
Like an under the table situation.
My wife is going to kill me.
I know I couldn't get the car you wanted, but here's a nice speeder car outside in the driveway.
Oh,
it's a hearse. Okay, guys, so here's the question I was going to posit to you. It was either a year or two ago where we first heard about the possibility of the Ghostbusters reboot and the fact that it was going to star all women.
I feel like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was quite a... I mean, it usually takes about that long for a movie to go from conception to pre-production to production and then post-production anyway. So, I remember when all that was happening, the trolls were alive. And they were like, oh, this is going to be awful. And it was clearly at that point, because there was nothing to grade, mostly just men's rights activist types of people.
I mean,
and hardcore fans that just think it should be a 100% retelling, if at all, of the story.
But I will say that it seems to me that, you know, if you're going to try and tell a story, you should not base your guiding principle of that movie like, hey, let's do a super cool PC thing and just switch it all around like that. Like, that to me does not seem like a good starting place for a movie.
I don't really care. Like, if you're doing a reboot, there's... And I think this could be actually a really interesting question as well, just the necessity of like what goes into a reboot and what's expected from the reboot. For example, like Star Trek 2009, I feel like is a great example. Mm-hmm. I feel like Star Trek 2009 is a perfect reboot, but a lot of people didn't like it because it does not have the spirit of the TV show in a lot of ways. And I understand that, you know, it's not really about the scientific discovery or, you know, going out to worlds unknown. It's more like Star Wars than it is Star Trek in a lot of ways.
But that said, how good was the TV show to begin with anyway, really?
That's sort of what I'm saying.
Wow. Okay. You guys remember that this guy was new and he will not be back. I promise, Trekkies. Please don't shoot me with your phasers or whatever.
I
didn't say Next Generation. Next Generation is fine.
I don't really like either that much.
To answer your question about reboots, I honestly feel that despite the fact that I think that Star Trek 2009 is a very good movie and I love the movie, I don't think it's a good reboot. And I don't think it's a good reboot for specifically that reason. It does not follow the spirit of the movie. And I feel like if you're going to try and recreate something like that, either if you want to do something that is a completely different spirit, just do something different. You want to do something that is, you know, an original property, then take that original property and take what made that thing itself and maybe do a spin on that, but at least have some connection beyond, hey guys, we have the same name and basic sort of idea-ish thing.
I hear what you're saying. I guess my issue is that this, when I first heard about this, I did not get the impression that there was enough to go on to assume that they were not going to take that route just because they were placing the roles with all women. I just saw it as a unique thing that would make it stand on its own and also could possibly be a good homage. Because from what I remember of the first movie, you know, it's not really tied to them all being dudes 100%. I mean, it is a guy movie in a lot of ways, but it's also more so, in my opinion, a movie for everyone. Like it's a comedy for everyone,
right?
So to replace the genders of the main characters doesn't really change anything unless you're tied to them being dudes for some reason.
But then why really make a big deal of it?
So that's where I'm getting at. I did not understand at the time whether or not that would be a big deal. Then the trailers came out, and then there was a lot more different types of criticism being thrown at this project.
And some of it was still legitimately like awful people being awful, just to be clear.
Absolutely. Right at the front,
I want to say that.
Absolutely. So here's the question I'm positing to you guys. Was what the trolls said the film was going to be valid and true? Or were they completely wrong and the film is terrible in other ways entirely? Or potentially even good, depending on how you walked out of it. What do you guys think?
Do you want me
just
to go first?
The trolls' perspective.
You can go ahead.
Okay. I will say this. I think that the troll's perspective is in some ways correct, but not for the reasons that they were positing. I think that this movie has a lot of issues, but I don't honestly think that those issues stem from this being an all-girl cast. Now, there's certainly some things in the spoiler side of this that involve this being an all-girl cast that I do want to touch on, but I don't want to necessarily do that in this part of the podcast. My perspective is that the trolls that were being like, you know, just because this is an all-girl cast, this is going to suck, I think they were incorrect. But that does not necessarily reflect that I thought this movie was a good movie.
Right. And a lot of the trolls were simply seemed to just want to believe that this movie would be terrible in a lot of ways to me. That's what I got the impression from.
Right. And I could definitely see that.
That's mostly stemming from just, like, I didn't find either of the trailers super like, oh man, I have to see this movie. But I still thought, like, it still piqued my interest. It wasn't like the first Star Trek Beyond trailer, which I was like, that looks like nothing like the other two Star Trek reboots so far, and it looks awful.
See, my personal opinion is, I saw the first trailer that came out for Ghostbusters, and I did not want to see it then. I thought this was going to be an awful, awful movie based on that first trailer. Now, that said, the next few trailers came out, and those were decent. And someone even took the footage of the first trailer and recut it into something that looked actually a lot of fun.
Agreed.
So it is possible to take what was there and make it look good. It's just that, in my opinion, the first trailer made it look like just complete trash.
Watching the original trailer, it looked great. You know, maybe fun. All right, let's give it a shot. It's Ghostbusters. Heard that it was all women, you know, before that. Okay, I've got no problem with that. That seems kind of cool. Oh, Paul Feig is attached? Okay, now I'm not feeling so hot about this.
I do want to say, I've seen two of his previous movies, Bridesmaids and what was
Spy?
It?
Spy?
No, I did not see Spy.
I saw a lot of Spy.
Yeah, it was Heat. I saw Bridesmaids and Heat, and that was a big part of the reason that I thought this movie was going to suck. Because I hate those movies.
Personally, I kind of enjoyed the Heat. I really did not find Bridesmaids funny at all.
There's something about this style of humor that I don't enjoy. It's not, I think it's that none of his things are character based. I don't think there's a lot of just body humor and a lot of just like, let's be foul and a lot of nonsense that's thrown at things because it's supposedly funny, but I don't personally find it funny.
I have only seen Spy, and even then I haven't had the chance to finish it. I started it while I was sick one day. It was on HBO Now, and I was like, oh, I just need a movie to watch. And I turned it on, and I actually found it to be very clever and very interesting, and I'm excited to finish it soon. And I found it really cool how he was able to sort of subvert a lot of those action espionage tropes. And a lot of the ways he subverts them is simply by reversing our title character's gender. And I find it very interesting that that seems to be a theme in all of his movies, and that he loves having female protagonists in kick-ass roles, but with sort of some sort of twist, which makes it so that it's complicated for them to fit those roles in a non-traditional way. It's more so than they are a woman. It's, there's some sort of other complication that makes it unique. And in Spy, it's, you know, it's that Melissa McCarthy's character has absolutely no background in doing anything like this. She's very much just like a goody two shoes. Like, she's kind of the call center lady for right. the espionage agent, and that she has to sort of go into the field through sort of some unique circumstances. Right. And that leads to a lot of really interesting humors, a lot of which is physical, but a lot of which is just a part of playing off of the tropes in the genre as well. The sure. scene where she gets gadgets is particularly humorous because they just give her like the bottom of the barrel, most boring, unsexy stuff, because since she was just receptionist level there, that like she didn't funny. Have the capacity to handle, according to them, like what right. would be appropriate.
That does sound pretty funny.
And so him taking on Ghostbusters with that experience for me, I was pretty excited because I was like, you know what? That sounds like exactly what he was doing with that movie Spy. You know, like he could flip the genders and maybe do something that I don't expect, or he could just try to go for some straightforward classic Ghostbusters material, but now they're all girls. And either way, I could see it working.
Yeah.
So what is our consensus with like the trolls were in some ways right, but they were not right for the reasons they thought they were?
Is I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think the trolls being just straight out, oh no, it's girls, so it's going to suck. That, no.
Yeah.
That's definitely not true. It sucks because Paul Feig's a director.
I wouldn't disagree with that statement. Okay, so what about the actresses in this? Like, I know that they're not all like exclusively Paul Feig like people. Like Melissa McCarthy, for example. Have you seen other stuff of hers?
Yeah, well, yeah, she's the lead role in Spy, and she's also one of the leads in The Heat, I believe.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, she plays Abby in this movie. Abby?
Something like
Abby? That. I think so.
It's Abby, I mean, Aaron, Jackie, and her, the only weird name.
No, there's Patty. There's Patty, and there's
Patty.
Patty's
Patty is Leslie Jones.
Leslie yeah. Jones. She's mm-hmm. my absolute favorite. She's so good in that.
Oh, she's solid. Her comedic performance. Yeah, her
really?
Comedic performance
like
is
she
great.
Was good? Oh my god, I mean, she's great.
I thought
she's the exact same loud black character that's been in movies for the past 20 years. Like, there's nothing new there. It's acceptable
no,
for
no,
what
no,
that
no,
is.
No,
I don't
no.
know.
To be fair, though, that was the only thing from either the trailers that I was like, oh no, I thought this was going to be like a like move in the right direction in PC world. But in the last trailer, they have the one black character going, I'm not smart, but I know this city. And I'm like, oh, facepalm. No, this is the wrong direction. Don't make her like the ignorant one. That sends a weird, weird message.
A lot of this movie sends a weird, weird message.
Some of it does. Some of it does. But I think that in the actual arc they established for her in this movie, I didn't find it. Well, hold on. You're immediately jumping to a different conclusion.
Okay.
How they set up how she was going to fit that role they established in the trailer. I found it to be a lot more sensitive and viable than the way they presented it in this trailer. Because she did know, she had a very strong intellectual, like, knowledge of the city. It
she
wasn't like
history.
She's like, this is where all the crackheads buy their crack and that's where ghosts are going to be. It wasn't going to be something like that. And that's what I was afraid of. I was like, that will be terrible.
That's
but instead
fair.
She knew actual history about the whole city. And I thought that that was a good move. And I liked the comedic bits that she provided. I thought that they were all very strong and well-timed and well-performed.
I mean, this movie is not my kind of humor. Yeah, I'm just going to put that out on front. Like, this movie is not the type of humor that I enjoy.
So that's sort of a writing and directing thing. But do you at least find the actresses to be strong? Because I feel like that was one of the best parts the movie offered.
Again, I don't think that there was anything new about what Leslie Jones was doing. I don't think it's a particularly bad job of doing it, but it's sort of just the same. To me, it's very much the same loud black character that has been in a lot of movies. Like, there's nothing unusual about that. And what you're talking about to me, I think I would agree more if I was given some kind of reason why she knew all these facts. But it felt like she just happened to have memorized just tons of random trivia, not that she was particularly intelligent. And I think I would have liked it a lot better if we had found out, like, no, yeah, she's hanging out with these crazy smart girls because she's also crazy smart. She just knows everything about history. I think I would have enjoyed that a lot more personally. Right. But instead, it just felt like she was just like, yeah, I just happened to have memorized all the historical trivia of this because reasons.
I just sort of bought that there was a decent but boring reason why. You know, like, I mean, it's like, I meet people all the time. It's like, yeah, I know everything there is to know about butterfly migration patterns. And I'm just like, that's cool. Please don't talk any more about it.
I'm not.
I don't really have a care to know your history behind your butterfly migration patterns obsession.
I'm just not willing to give movies that benefit of that mulligan on that one. I can understand why you would be, but I personally need my dad is an awesome historian and I listen to him a lot. Or better yet, I have a PhD in history and I know everything about New York. That's why. Like, so I would like that a lot better.
That kind of brings up the really big trouble with this movie is that the suspension of disbelief just, it doesn't quite hold you the whole time. It feels like you get pulled out.
I agree with
constantly.
That.
Yeah. There's so much inconsistency. Like my wife Robin was sitting next to me during the movie and she was constantly turning to me being like, why is this happening? Why is this that way? Like, just, there's so many questions that this movie brings
up. The spoiler cast is going to be really fun. I have a ton to bring up and I'm really excited about it.
Let's get on to, because I do want to talk a little bit more about the other acting.
But so like we basically talked about Leslie Jones. I'd like to talk about my favorite, which was Kate McKinnon. Yes. I thought she was awesome. I kind of have a crush on Holtzman. I'm not going to lie.
She is my favorite character.
Like, absolutely.
I enjoyed her a lot. Now I'm gonna back off a little bit and say she was my favorite character out of a bunch of characters I didn't like. But I enjoyed her performance at least 50% of the time, which is way higher than anyone else in the movie.
I am going to go ahead and come clean. I haven't seen the first Ghostbusters in so long that I just remember very little about it. I saw Ghostbusters 2 fairly recently because Brandon was like, you haven't seen Ghostbusters 2? So I borrowed it and I watched it. And from what I remember of the first movie is that the characters, the way they establish them, they're all both bombastic, but also like relatively well-grounded.
Well, what I would say is that they're all very intelligent people, like all three of the main guys, other than
Winston,
who doesn't come in until later in the movie. But they're all very different in how they're very, very smart. And
right.
I liked that.
And I feel like Kate McKinnon sort of felt like she was a part of that mold more than the rest because she was the most easy to be like, that is Holtzman. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the rest
definitely.
Do
like
not have as
character for sure.
The rest do not have that much of a fleshed out personality the way she does. It's sort of like what you're saying. We need to know. You want to know about Jackie's background behind it, why she knows all these things. I do not
care.
I do not care. It was even on her necklace the whole movie. Uh-huh. And I keep forgetting.
I do not
need to care about why Holtzman is so odd, because I'm just along for the ride of her being odd. It's very much like we brought up in Midnight Run. It's a journey, not destination type of thing with that character for me. And I just love her being on screen. She carries so much charisma in the film.
I think that definitely works with her. I think with a really odd character, you don't really want to be like, oh yeah, when she was six, she like stuck a quarter in a light socket and now she's super weird. I think a character like that is best when they don't have an explanation behind why they're so insane. That said, I think what I like best about her personally is that to me, she very much feels like a mix of two of the original Ghostbusters. She doesn't feel like either one in particular, but she feels very much like a mix. And it's Egon and what is not Venkman, but
Ray?
Yeah, she feels like a mix of Ray and Venkman, but she's or not Venkman, Ray and Egon, but she's very, very different from either of them. And I like that. I think that's the direction that this movie I would have liked a lot better if this movie had taken. If we feel like, okay, I see where you're going with, I see where you got that from the original movie, but you've definitely remixed it a bit. There's definitely some changes here, but it's very connected still to that original movie.
And I think that's how a reboot like works best.
Yeah.
Is when it doesn't, because on the one hand, they could have just said, let's get four female actresses and have them replicate the four roles from the original movie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that could have ended up feeling very schmaltzy. It's like, I get that you're just trying to do this, you know, page for page or whatever, but you just should embrace the fact that you're in a different time, you're using different actors. You should embrace what makes those actors unique and you'll probably come out with a better product. And I like that they were seem to be going in that direction with this reboot.
To be fair, if they had gone that direction fully that way, I would have liked it a lot better.
Oh, absolutely. I again feel like that the rest of the cast isn't quite as strong in that department.
Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig, right? Is that the other two?
They
don't feel any different as characters. They are both the awkward but still intelligent person, and that's basically it.
Well,
I mean, Melissa McCarthy is kind of a jerk, but other than that, like, it's just
awkward on different ends of the spectrum, though.
Right.
Because Kristen Wiig's character, she's sort of the trying to go clean character. Like, she's got some, she tries, but she accidentally is socially awkward. Whereas Melissa McCarthy is confident in who she is. And
a jerk.
She's confident in the fact that she doesn't care that she's socially awkward, you know? And I think in a way they're all like that, but they're the most dynamic in that regard.
Right.
Not necessarily the most charismatic, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
to they're
two
degree,
sides
yeah.
of the same coin in a lot of ways. And in the way that it sort of bookends the film with giving them sort of a journey with each other, it's not as fleshed out as I would have liked for it to be.
Right,
but you can see that they're trying to go for that. And
they
the building block for that is kind of nice.
Right. To me, though, even saying two sides of the same coin, it doesn't quite get across how very similar these two characters feel to me. Like, I cannot put any labels. Like, I can put a label on... shoot, what's her name? The good one. The one that we like.
The good one is Holtzman.
Yeah,
Holtzman.
Kate McKinnon. Yeah.
Like, I can put very clear labels on who that person is as a character. She is nuts, but she's brilliant. And she's the engineer. Like, she's building all the gear. Everyone else is just kind of, like, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy are just, they're also smart.
I still liked Patty.
There. No, Patty is very different from this core trio that we get for the first half of the movie.
Oh, right.
And what I'm saying is that of those four, especially Patty does have a very unique and specific identity as well. And so that's a different thing. But these two, they're the smart ones, I guess.
I feel like for Ghostbusters that you're kind of right. That's really important that you really want to have a really dynamic team.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they won't really feel like a team. They just feel like one unit, and that's a big difference. It sounds like the same if you put it down on paper, but you can really tell that in the original Ghostbusters, they're a team. And in this one, they are all the Ghostbusters, and that's not quite as awesome to watch, I feel.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about the original Ghostbusters, if you have Egon, who is like, he's crazy brilliant, but he's so far crazy awesome brilliant that he is just in his own world and doesn't care about anything. Like, you can imagine just a stream of numbers going through his head at all times. Ray is like the next step down, where he has all the knowledge of all the events and all that, and he's, you know, still crazy intelligent, still building all the stuff. And I think that's his main role, is the building of the things. And then you get to Venkman, who is what I feel this movie needed most, because he's the one that's grounded. He's the one that does not take any of this seriously. He's the one that is constantly going to be like, did that really just happen? Is no one going to comment on that? No, right. Just me? I'm the only one? Okay, well, whatever. And I think that's what this movie needed most, honestly.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and get into our things we liked. Let's take it to the positive direction, since we've been hitting the negative notes a little bit. And we'll think about the things that we liked most about this movie. And then we will go into our things we thought were... Let's keep it to thing to make it concise. Then we have to make a decision on thing we hated the most about this movie, and then we'll go into our brief review. Who would like to go first with thing they liked the most about this movie? You both look like you're still thinking.
I mean, I know what I'm gonna pick, but
oh, okay, well, let's start with you.
Okay. The opening was all right. Like, I thought it was okay.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
The opening was good, though, for sure.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, it
Oh, you're talking about the actual intro?
Yeah, with the guy? And the tour guide and all
saying.
That.
Okay.
It was all right. Like, I think that part worked pretty well. I think that it set the mood for what was coming all right. Like, I feel like it had a little more of a horror edge than was what was actually present in the movie. But, yeah, that part, I would say, okay, good.
I felt like they could have had that a little bit more throughout, the horror edge a little bit more throughout. Because
yeah.
In the first one, I mean, the terror dogs are freaking scary looking.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
definitely
terrifying. Some serious horror in that. There's a lot of different tones that are juggled very well in the original.
Yeah, and in this one, I felt like they kind of fell flat on that. Sorry, getting back to the negative.
it's going to be hard to get off.
Was anyone surprised that guy ended up being okay? I totally thought he was going to be possessed.
No, I literally turned to Rob and said, no, he's fine.
Really?
She will verify that for
you. When the thing was zooming in on him, yep. I was like, well, he's dead.
I knew he would either be 100% okay or okay and possessed. But well,
that's what I thought, okay
but
and
I
possessed.
But I lean towards completely okay.
Why? I was completely floored. I was like, we're never coming back to that? He's got to be possessed. Like, I 100%.
Honestly, it was based on the tone that I'd seen in the trailers and what I remembered of Paul Feig's work. Like, it felt like that was where it was going to go. So,
huh. Man, I
guess that makes sense.
I was just like, that was when that was the first moment I was like, well, I was excited. This is going to be a really, because then it just cuts straight from that to just Ghostbusters. Right. And I was like, well, that was a hard cut.
Yeah.
I think they tried to do what the opening for the original was, which is terrified librarian, cut to Ghostbusters, and then Venkman's office.
Yeah.
And they kind of tried to do that, and I feel like it wasn't as... Of course, it's a reboot, so it's not going to be as successful.
I feel like they pushed harder on the "this guy is in peril" thing. Like in that original, you know, we see the librarian ghost turn into a monster and the girl scream, but clearly she has an escape. Like this guy, right. It seems very clear that he does not have an escape, which makes it all the weirder when he comes out completely okay. But again, I knew it was coming. So
right.
Well, I would say that my favorite thing about this movie is definitely going to be the cast. You know, we've sort of talked about how we
like the... we weren't talking about like a specific scene?
No, anything.
I love the colors in this movie. This movie is really pretty to watch. Like, I really like that. I think that it has a very strong aesthetic and it's a lot of fun to look at.
Okay, so when we're not just talking about scenes, you have a lot more to talk about.
Oh, yeah, no, like, if we're opening up to things like that as positives, then I'm going to go with that as my positive, because I think that that is a strong... It has a very strong visual style, and it works really well throughout the movie.
Awesome. I generally just feel very strong about the cast. Like, I know that some of the characters may not have hit all the notes that we'd have all liked, but I feel like that even... You know, Kristen Wiig for playing, you know, a relatively boring character with Aaron, she's still like, you can just feel a lot of just natural charisma coming out of her. And there's just a lot of subtle twitches that you can notice on screen that she's doing. That she's adding things that aren't in the script that are livening the character up.
Now, and she's the one. She's not.
She's sort of the main one. She's the smart one that's at the university.
There was a specific thing that was going on without her character that was a through line through it that really put me off of her. So we'll talk on that on the spoiler side.
I see. Yeah.
But there was a very specific thing that, like, I would have been with you on that up until a certain point, and then things, like, she really started to creep me out. So.
Well, okay, now I think I know what it is.
Yeah,
maybe.
For sure I know what it is.
Maybe. But like, you know, that goes to everybody though. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, definitely. Leslie Jones, also a strong one for me. I just really liked watching these women interact on screen. I thought they all did a great job of performing their characters, even if their characters may have at times been a little flat on page. I think that just as a vessel for these all these four women to get together and perform some comedy, I thought that was pretty excellent. And if Ghostbusters 2 came out, I'm not going to do exactly what You Can't See Rick is doing.
Shuddering.
Peel his skin off and get out of here as fast as he can.
I'd be pretty excited. You know, hopefully they would see where they failed in some ways in regards to this movie and provide a much better product. And
we all know that Hollywood is great at that.
They are sometimes.
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2, absolutely. Everything
Transformers
about-
2.
Oh.
Taken to... Crap.
Empire Aliens. Strikes Back. Oh, that's right. That movie sucks too, doesn't it?
Attack of the Clones.
That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair at all.
I legitimately don't know what you're talking about. I heard Attack of the... That's not fair at all. But yeah, you know, I'm always hopeful for what Hollywood can do. I'm consistently depressed by what they did, but always hopeful for what they can do. And I'd be hopeful to see these four women come back for a sequel to this movie.
Now, I feel like you're leaving out one of the main characters in this, which would be Chris Hemsworth.
Oh my God.
Can you talk about Chris Hemsworth for a minute?
Chris Hemsworth.
You what?
Bullshit.
I like his performance. I think he does a good job with the acting of it. I hate his character.
He
I hate his actual character. The development that happens later on in the movie. Well, wait, this was in the trailer, so I don't feel like it's a thing. Once
hold on, let's not spoil. Let's you can talk about it later.
It is literally in the trailer.
Yeah. Okay. You'll be leaving it to my discretion with whether or not I cut it.
I do really like him. I like him a lot better once he's possessed. I think that works really well. I don't like him prior to that.
He provides a lot of good bits when he's possessed.
I don't like him prior to that. I don't like. So
his character Kevin is not your favorite.
No, and we will get into that on the spoiler side.
But he's made of muscle, and his skin is baby soft.
And we will get into that at the end during the spoilers. It was not.
I was crying laughing.
Extremely creepy.
Some people are allergic to fun, and I guess you're one of those
sitting
people.
In between you guys was funniest thing. Because to sure my right, I just keep hearing sighs. And my left, Chris is just dying.
Sorry.
My abs were hurting. He gives such a great performance, and I feel like, and I know you said that you agree.
The acting is strong. I will say that.
But the acting is what makes the bits work. Like
they do not work.
It's
one. I'm sorry. Like they do not work.
I'm getting dizzy just thinking about it. Like I was laughing so much. Oh man! So was that going to be your thing? Was Crimson?
No. I just figured you were leaving out one of the characters. All your characters are the favorite. My favorite part actually is. And it's not as good as I would have liked it to be, but the nostalgia, the fact that they put in a lot of different little things for fan service, I felt they did a decent job of putting stuff in. Little things that you wouldn't notice. There's a time that I recognize from the original, and it was just some good stuff.
Four out of the five things that I'm thinking of I thought were really strong. One really annoyed me, but... That said, I mostly agree. Like, I think that the ties back to the original were really, really good. I liked them a lot.
So now we've talked about our one thing we liked most about the movie. Let's talk about our one thing we liked the least about this movie. Rick, you probably... you going to have to choose between a lot of things and you need more time?
I am having to choose between a lot of things, but...
I can tell you right now what mine is.
We've already touched on it very briefly, so I'll just say it again. The thing that you really like about Chris Hemsworth, I find incredibly off-putting and creepy. Like,
you might know what it's like to be a lot of women from looking at a lot of roles in other movies. No?
That's the thing, is that there's certain elements of his relationship to another character that... If you reverse the genders of this, like, there would be outrage. And it doesn't come across to me as funny because of that. It comes across as really, really uncomfortably creepy.
I feel like that was done on purpose.
I do, too. I think that's what makes it funny.
But, okay, but, like, if just because they on purpose, you know, may have had a... what was it that you objected so much in Fast and Furious 3? The burning of the Indian thing? Like, that was really offensive and creepy and wrong.
But that was, there was nothing intentional about, like, subverting that. And I feel like...
There was nothing subverted here. It was incredibly creepy relationship between...
I completely disagree. What makes it funny is the fact that that if you flip the gender roles, it would be weird. And we never see it the other way. Makes it funny.
It would have been interesting
to me, or it would have been funny to me if they had twisted it somehow, but they didn't. They just flipped it, and it is incredibly creepy, just as I would find it incredibly and really uncomfortable if they had done it straight with, like, the normal genders that you would assume that would go down with.
Right. I just feel like that's the basic foundation for what makes the bit work. Cultural understanding.
I can't talk any more about it until we get to the spoiler thing, because there's something
that's fair. Because,
yeah.
Okay. So that was your least favorite bit. My least favorite thing about this movie is some of the basic, like, production decisions. It's really hard to ground them in one thing, but I feel like editing would cover it well. The editing in this movie is very odd. It's odd in that it's so conventional in a lot of ways. Like, there were so many scenes where they just cut to, and here's the skyline of New York, and that's how we transition from one scene to another. Yeah. And it's such a small thing that, like, 2% of people are probably also going to not like. But for me, it's like, I see this in every single comedy from the last like 30 years. And I am just so tired of it. Whoever invented the stabilization technology that let us film from helicopters at this point, I just wish they weren't a thing. I wish we could Marty McFly them and have them fade from a photograph. Like, it's just, I'm over it. We got to get to Brooklyn. Cut to skyline over really? Brooklyn. It's just like, oh my gosh. It's like, there is a really great episode of Every Frame of Painting that dissects the directing style of not Simon Pegg, the guy who does all the movies that Simon Pegg in them, Edgar Wright.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
In Hot Fuzz, there is a great sequence that shows the transition from our protagonist, played by Simon Pegg, getting to this small little town that's way outside of London. And instead of just doing like, you know, this sequence where like you cut from like the skyline to a bus, then you go from the bus to this big open countryside to simulate travel, you have all these super fast cuts of him like getting on a train jumping by, he's holding a plant, there's a light that slowly goes past him, then he wakes up because someone, you know, does something near him that wakes him up, and it's this really jarring montage, but it works in the best way, where it's not only simulating that he's going from one location to another, but it's providing bits where we learn more about the character. It's providing comedy, and it's keeping the pacing up so that you can stay interested and intrigued in what is happening in the story.
Agreed.
I much would prefer that we abandon conventions when we try to tell stories, at least some of the conventions that have been overplayed, in order to keep the audience interested. People are smarter than you give them credit for. Try something new in your edit bay to convey, you know, like, this is where we are. Don't just put something to fill in space and put in the song that you're contractually obligated to provide because you have a deal with a record label or something. I'm over it. I'm absolutely over it.
So, just so I'm clear, the thing you liked least in this movie was the skyline shots?
Well, that's an example.
Okay, it's the editing overall.
Editing in general.
A lot of the editing is just like, why did they do this? I don't.
Okay.
And there's some slow-mo shots during the climax, and I'm like, this is a little hokey. You know, it's like
a little hokey.
Yeah,
a little. Yeah.
It's too conventional with how it's played out in a lot of ways. Like, I just wish that they were a little ballsier with some of those decisions in the edit floor and in the production value.
It's ballsy because they're all ladies. You wish they were baldy. That's good.
But I really do wish we could have gotten our wives and girlfriends to have subbed in for us this week. do an all funny. Female opinion cast.
That would have been funny.
Okay. Brandon.
My least favorite. Let's see. I was just going to go with the gimme and just say Paul Feig, but that's not fair. I already brought him up. So I'm going to say all of the obvious product placement. I mean, there was one that was just really blatant and in your face. And
I'll bring it up. I'm not sure which one it is.
So I think in the trailer they show the different symbols and whatnot that Kevin has come up with. You know, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
There's one that he pops up and it's like, are you funny, like, really? But I don't know.
I was like, come on.
And then Papa John's. Oh, look, Papa John's. And I was waiting to see Progressive, and I didn't see Flo anywhere, but I was waiting for her to pop out and be like, I can help. And, you know, just come on. It was a little bit much.
I agree.
All right. So that's our high points and low points. So now we're going to go into our brief view, short view, tiny review. The tiny review. Okay. So this is a review, bonus points if you can do it in one word, but you can go to maybe a max of 3 words if you really want to.
Okay.
So just general, how you came out of the film. Doesn't even have to be something that's like positive or negative in vibe, but just how you felt about it. So,
Chris, do you want to go first?
No.
You haven't thinked out your 3 words, have you?
Here, I don't mind going first.
Okay.
Nostalgia fun. And that's technically one word. It was nostalgic enough, and it was... I had fun. There was a lot of problems with it, but I genuinely had fun with the movie.
Okay.
So that's a good one.
Nostalgia fun.
Okay.
It's also, it works with the things that you pointed out earlier, that there are a lot of Easter eggs that work for fans. And
yeah,
it did seem paced in such a way that like it was both a comedy and in a lot of ways an action movie, which make it, you know, very much an all, you know, catch grab for anyone who wants to hit up the theater.
That's fair.
All right, Rick, you seem like you already have an idea.
My short phrase will be inconsistently dog shit. I hate this movie. It was awful. It was awful, awful, awful. Now, to be fair, humor is extremely subjective. I did not find it funny, except for like one or two parts. There was only one character that I really liked, and I only liked her 60-70% of the time. Like, there was a lot of parts where I was like, okay, I'm over it. Get on with it. Like, let's move on to something else. This movie's awful. Like, it's badly edited. The story is inconsistent and really badly told. The characters are muddled very badly, except for like one. And yeah, no, don't go see this. Don't waste money on it. It is awful.
My one word review, noobs, is going
noobs?
To be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, what?
Did you make a boobs pun? Is that what just
no,
happened? What did
no.
you just say?
You said my one word review is noobs. And so I thought it was noobs. I was like, noobs? What? Why is noobs your thing? You didn't see the last movies for a while, and he's wearing a Ghostbusters shirt.
Right.
And I believe you mentioned there is a tattoo.
Yeah, Brandon, there you have a tattoo on your arm, right?
Yep. Oh, nice.
It matches your shirt.
Yeah, of course it does. It's a Ghostbuster. I told you guys, I'm a lifelong Ghostbuster.
It takes it to a new level. Oh, man. No, that review was probably better, actually. Now I can't remember what... Oh, it was... My review was silly. And I feel like it works in a lot of ways because this movie is silly and it wants to be silly. So it's sort of however you want to take it. I feel like that when this movie is trying to be funny, it is not. But there's a lot of scenes where it is naturally funny and it just works. And it feels like, you know, it wasn't forced. It wasn't tried. It just, the characters that are on screen just click and the script just works in little moments. But over the whole movie, you know, there will be a huge gag at one point that you're just like, oh, yeah, that I didn't really find that funny. Then later, you know, Chris Hemsworth will just say something as it is on page. And because he's Chris Hemsworth and he's a good actor and he's perfect for that role, it's just going to work. And it made me just split my sides laughing. Kate McKinnon just being, I don't know what the director's notes were for her, but they're just off the wall and wild. Maybe just said go nuts and didn't say anything else.
I honestly think that she has literally just studied my friend Krista Widman and just paid very close attention to her because I could see that person in this role. Like, not like I could see a person, like I could see someone being James Bond or something like that. No, like it was eerie, the level of closeness of mannerisms of that actor to this person. So
maybe she was the director's notes. Like, check out this Krista girl. Just do that.
Just follow her around for about 6 months. You'll get it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, there are moments where it really works. However, at the same time, there's a lot of stuff about this movie that if you want to deconstruct it and say, all right, is this good? I feel like you can't say anything, but well, that was a silly idea. And it's in a,
that's bad. I can think of things to say.
Yeah. It's just that I don't know how they thought some things were going to pan well. And I also don't understand how they thought this is going to be considered, you know, like easy to understand and graspable. It's just,
I don't understand
some silly ideas, you know, they were better off sticking to a more grounded narrative. And
yeah,
that's a big problem with this movie. They'll introduce plot points in the middle of the movie that are huge developments and that'll change everything. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves. I just wish, you know, and we can get in, we will definitely talk about that in the spoiler cast coming up soon. But anyway, that's my negative thought. So we've all had our bits. We're going to go ahead and fade out like a ghost. And we'll be back soon.
Ghost.
The artist you are listening to right now is Michelle Nopick, and the song is titled Fairy Tales. Michelle is currently a student at Belmont University, where she will receive her Bachelor's of Arts studying commercial voice and music business. She is currently working in the studio on her next single, Tonight. Well, she's not working on it tonight, but it's a song called Tonight. Don't worry about it. It's just remember that word, Tonight. The important thing is that you know that the next single will be called Tonight. And it'll also be on her first EP coming soon, hopefully. Nopick has plans to start a small tour in September of 2016. For more information about Michelle Nopick, you can visit her website at www.michellenopick.com. And pay attention to how it's spelled, because there is a silent K in there. At least I hope it's silent. I've never heard her pronounce her last name. Apologies, Michelle, if this is inaccurate. But it's spelled michellenopick.com. Go to michellenopick.com for more information about her music and upcoming material.
Okay,
hi.
So hello. We're talking about spoilers in Ghostbusters. Rick, you just look ready to pounce, man.
Chris Hemsworth is a freaking, like, he is mentally disabled, and there is a woman all over him, and it is so, so, so creepy. And if you reverse those two genders, like, there would be riots in the street. Like, he is literally not capable of taking care of himself, stupid. And there is a woman all over him, despite that is clearly a child in a grown man's body. And it just makes my skin crawl. Like, ugh.
I did not get retarded.
I don't know.
I just got really
like, he's
stupid.
Really dumb. He's like dumb blonde, man.
No, he is actively incapable of answering a phone.
To be fair, he is reaching for a phone that is inside of a fish tank.
Yeah, and exactly. No, he's not. He thinks the phone is in the fish tank.
Exactly. No. He was reaching for a phone.
There is a phone in the fish tank.
You're right. Oh, I thought he just didn't realize there was glass there. I was like, how is this water standing?
Because,
like,
that's a better argument.
Like, that on its own, like, I probably could have gotten some laughs out of. But the incredibly, incredibly creepy way that What's-Her-Face is going after him is just like,
Aaron, I think.
No.
Kristen
no,
Wiig, yeah.
No, no.
I didn't get anything about retard. I just got really stupid.
I did definitely
really
did
stupid.
Not see,
really
ugh, see that.
It's not like he was slurring his speech or having trouble communicating.
He was definitely having trouble communicating, because they would say, answer the phone, and he would not understand how to answer a phone.
Because he's stupid. It's
yeah,
different.
It was. No, it's not. I'm sorry. This guy was a no, I'm it, creeped out. That's all I got to say.
I feel like
about
it was an amped up, like, dumb blonde, typical, model
that's
type
what I
of.
Got it.
If it was a female, it would be, you know, some bosomy blonde that, you know, just does not know anything.
I tried to delete the text in the Word doc, but the whiteout, like, doesn't seem to do anything when I print
right.
it.
And if someone is that dumb, they are retarded. I'm sorry. Like, that's the medical term for being that stupid. I don't know how to say it otherwise.
The medical term is that your brain isn't developed at the capacity that an average-aged person.
That's called being.
He literally
mentally
is
disabled.
So ignorant about everything that he's stupid. That's how I see his character.
So what was creeping you out the most is that Kristen Wiig's character wanted to rape Kevin.
Yes.
Essentially. Okay.
No, that, it was it 100. He would not have been able to have the brain capacity to give consent.
But he goes and gets a sandwich later. I mean, hey, he's hungry. He can take care of himself.
Yeah, he can buy
I'm
food.
I'm trying to slowly poke holes in you.
And he punched numbers in the machine and closed the portal at the end. They make
right.
a big point to put that out there, Rick. He literally saves the day.
Okay, so
the man
what do you guys think? Like, do you guys think that there's anything to the fact that the girls literally solve the end situation by shooting someone in the dick? Like, is there anything you think that's going on there?
I think that was I think it may have been a subtle, like, this is kind of what we're doing.
Subtle.
This is subtle.
That was a screaming in your
subtle.
Face.
Subtle.
That was a we're going to punch you in the dick and this is what's going to happen?
Take Listen this, Hollywood. Dick punch.
That's, I wish that's what they were doing, is punching Hollywood in the dick. This felt like such a studio film.
This movie was not smart enough to do that, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think that it was literally just a dick joke. I don't think there was any subtext to it. I don't think anyone in the movie, like, intended there to be subtext. It's just that's how, oh, hey, dick joke. Ha ha.
Nah. Well, I think it's like a flip, you know, oh, girls are going to punch him in the nuts. That's what's, you know,
how's that going to happen? Is a guy going to punch a girl in the boob? Like,
well, I mean, yeah, no.
I don't think I've ever seen that in the movie.
I feel like it has to be that way because would ghosts feel pain in their balls like more?
Man, I have so many questions about how ghosts work in this movie. It makes no damn sense.
That end fight scene was just awful.
It was horrible. It went on for so long.
The end fight scene.
It was not fun at all.
It doesn't make. I found it fun, but it was really stupid.
It like I can't. Dumb.
I can't forgive it in any way.
Ugh.
But I had fun.
It was watching like it. The one time I started to have fun was when Cool Chick
with the Holzman, two guns.
Holzman pulled out the two
that was
guns.
Definitely
that
the
was
best
pretty
part
cool
of
for about
scene.
10 seconds, and then it went on for another minute and a half, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Please move to something
my,
else.
My
anything
problem
else.
With it is not that like it's there and they have the gadgets. I like the gadgets. I like mm-hmm. that sort of setup. My thing is that it just their whole thing is that the laser guns work to trap the ghosts. And they need to plant a trap
uh-huh.
to keep it.
Exactly.
Right.
But
why
now,
are they
so
discorporating? I don't understand.
Like, it was the. I guess the goal is that, like,
also,
you want to trap the ghosts, but you don't have to. But then why, in a lot of other situations, would you let them get away and hurt other people? You know, it
right,
opens
like
up
that,
whole, weird holes.
And like, then, like, why are balloons a ghost? Like, why does a balloon have a ghost
yeah,
all of a sudden?
Really
and then
strange.
Why well, is there some kind of weird demon ghost? Like, what is up with that thing? Where
did
it come from?
They did establish earlier that ghosts can animate actual physical objects because of the mannequin thing.
But
so,
there wasn't a parade going down. They were
balloons.
They were ghost
you
balloons.
You don't know that.
No, they were. There was not a parade. They were just ghost balloons.
Maybe it was Thanksgiving.
They make it seem like they're balloons, but then where did the balloons come from? It seems
the
really
Macy's
strange.
Thanksgiving parade.
No,
no,
no, no, no. You will not forgive this movie. That stupid, stupid point.
Maybe they found a balloon
also,
store.
Also, that still does not answer. My right. question of why was there some kind of weird dinosaur demon ghost? Like,
what are you talking
what?
About?
See, I
dinosaur
feel like he was
in
well,
Leslie Jones,
the dragon.
Yeah, the dragon.
The Satan looking thing?
Yeah.
In the rock it, concert.
Oh, so that is a little weird because they're all people.
Right?
So they
what
can,
the heck?
So like you were saying, I think we were sitting in the movie theater. So some of them are people stuck in the way that they were when they died. Others are not. Others are just this color and that color and what's going on.
Or giant dudes with stilt legs.
Right,
or
giant dudes with stilt legs. Like I feel like it's you have to take it as it's going to be what it's going to be because it's paranormal, quote unquote. So you're going to have, you have to.
And see, this is the thing that Ghostbusters the original did so well. There's definitely different things that are in that world that aren't, there's the ghosts, then there's clearly the dog monsters, and then there's clearly whatever Zool, or no, it's Gozer at the end. There's Gozer, which is clearly a different thing from all of the others.
And then you've got Slimer, though, who is just a ball of slime.
Right, but you still can kind of understand, okay, yeah, that's a ghost, it's got a vaguely humanoid shape, I can get that could be a human ghost, like that's fair. But they do such a good job of establishing that these things are different and you're not supposed to take them as the same thing. This movie is so muddled on every level with that type of thing. You have no idea what's going on, why, like, why are ghosts suddenly exploding? That's like the first thing that we came up with.
Yeah.
There's so many unanswered questions and so many freaking inconsistencies that it's infuriating.
I agree at the base level of what you're saying, but I'm also going to point out, I didn't think of any of those things till the climax.
Okay, like, just because you didn't doesn't mean I did. I was literally sitting there stuck in my chair. I wasn't laughing at it, so I had to think of those things.
What?
Just because
what
you
hell?
Didn't think of it doesn't mean that, you know, like,
no,
the
you
average
misheard
person
me. I didn't think about it until the climax. So what I'm saying is everything beforehand in the movie that Like, I didn't really encounter anything. Like, even the demon thing, I just sort of bought it for what it was. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a demon ghost.
Right, but what I'm saying is the difference is you were in the movie. Like, you could get along with it. Like, you were laughing
in
at it.
In the climax, I still was like, why is it working this way? Well, it's still fun. And I disregarded it, but I heard what you're saying, and I completely agree. Yeah, this logic seems to sort of be whatever they want it to be at this point. And I was thinking that in the movie. But
and it is always a shitty decision, directors. Well, don't ever do that. No.
I just want to say I agree with you. What I'm saying is it did not bother me at all until the climax, where it became very apparent to me. Until the climax, it wasn't really a thing for me until I retrospectively looked at it.
Right.
The climax is the first moment in the movie I was like, there doesn't seem to be any grounded understanding of what ghosts are in this movie.
Right. And I think that the difference, what I'm trying to get across is, I think that the difference is that you found it funny. Like, you were laughing at it, so you found it fun, so you could go along with that. I did not find it fun or funny, so I could not go along with it. So I was catching those things way earlier and thinking about them as the movie progressed.
But even knowing it now, I feel like I would still enjoy that, like, first half, three quarters of the movie, even knowing that there's not really a lot of grounded rules, because the rules that are present are enough for me to buy the journey up to that point. The climax, when they just go to hell with it all, that's too much, because Agreed. That's too much. There's nothing to really ride other than the choreography, because there's absolutely no grounding for the characters. There's no grounding for the lore. There's no grounding for any part of that set piece other than the choreography.
Right.
And that's the problem with it, is that it gets to a point where you make sacrifices with what type of story you might want to tell in a movie all the time when you're the director. I directed a movie just last weekend where we had this big plot point, and it turned out on production that, like, hey, we can no longer do this, and there's just going to be no way to resolve it. Sometimes you have to think of last minute things. You're like, okay, well, we just cannot do that. And that's really unfortunate, but we'll try to pace it in such a way so that it won't be an issue. It felt like at the climax, it's impossible to provide any sort of, yeah, but whatever. And, you know, it's like the Jurassic Park thing I always bring up.
It is not like that. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Okay. You're not even letting me flesh out that example. Okay.
Go ahead.
Example.
Sorry.
The thing about the Tyrannosaurus Rex scene where it comes out and it's breaking the fence, and it's this amazingly choreographed, acted, shot, written scene. Everything about it works, but the T-Rex is floating over a cliff. You can look past that because all the other elements in that scene work. Everything else about the lore in the movie and the background of the movie work. It's just one thing. It's a big thing if you want to make it a big thing. It could easily break the immersion of the scene, but it doesn't because everything else is so good.
Right.
It's the best part of the whole movie, in my opinion.
Right.
Even though it has the biggest hole in the whole movie. Well, arguably, there's another part you could, I guess, talk about if you wanted to.
I feel like that's the bigger hole, honestly, personally.
Anyway.
But yes, I see what you're talking about.
So, but in the climax, there's none of those other building blocks to get behind where you're like, yeah, but it's paced perfectly. Or, yeah, but there's this plot element going on. There's nothing like that. It's literally just look at them doing flips in slow motion and punching with Ghostbuster power fists from Fallout. And that's all that it really offers. And it's if you like the choreography, if you like, you know, staged action sequences, even if they're a little cheesy and have super high sci-fi elements the way I do, you know, you might have some fun there the way I did as well. But if you're like me, you also can't forgive it because there's nothing to get behind to forgive. So that's how I feel about it.
See, that's how I felt from the very beginning of the movie, is that there were these things that just were building up through the entire movie. And so by the end of it, I couldn't even enjoy the choreography as much because I knew this was going nowhere and I just wanted it to be over.
Well, at that point, it's mostly about the characters in the comedy anyway. Like, right. They haven't learned very much, even up until the first half of the movie. They're still just trying to get the team and the resources together at that point. So that might be a little unfair, don't you think? Say, from the beginning?
No, I don't feel like that's unfair at all.
You have to start learning about how ghosts work from the very beginning?
Yeah, that's what they do in Ghostbusters, the original. That's exactly what you do.
Don't they... Well, didn't they have to, like, find the team first and get the resources?
The very first thing is you see a ghost, you see what it does, and then you get introduced to the characters very briefly, except for Venkman. You get a little bit more into him, and then you go directly into them, like, dealing with ghosts. And, like, it works so much better in that way. Like,
I haven't seen it in so long. I thought there was still a team building montage that happened.
No, there's not really a team montage.
Because they're already a team. Like, they've been working together for a long time.
That's right. I do kind of remember that. Oh, well, but here, that's the thing, is that this is taking a different attempt at the story. If you're going to compare it to the original Ghostbusters, which wasn't even trying to do that, it's a bit unfair.
No, it's not, because this isn't a different tact. It's them not trying at all. They aren't attempting to be coherent.
It's not
they
the goal in the first half of the movie.
And the only goal that I can see is to be funny, and they failed at that for me.
It's to be funny and to establish where the characters are coming from and why they would form a team.
Which they also failed at for me, because I don't understand really why most of these characters are there. But like, the thing is, I don't get a real character from Melissa McCarthy at all through the entire movie. Like, she never coheres as a person to me. I kind of get that other main chick.
Kristen Wiig.
I kind of get that Kristen Wiig is, you know, she's really interested in ghosts, but she kind of hides it because of her thing, but that never really goes anywhere. She just suddenly, okay, I have no other choice, so I'll be a Ghostbuster now. And, you know, like, I never really get why Crazy Girl is there. She doesn't seem like she would, like, she seems like she would just do this no matter what. So it's not a team to me. It's just people who happen to be doing this.
But it doesn't.
On top of that, even Leslie, what's her name?
Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon are the other two.
Leslie Jones' character, she just, like, forces her way in. And she there's not does. Really a, yeah, a reason for it. Like, it's just, okay, we need this character to join. She's just going to say, hey, I'm part of the club now. Yay.
But my point was that the first half of the movie, whether they succeeded or failed or not, that's what they were trying to do. So they weren't even tackling the issue of ghost lore yet. So to blame it on not establishing ghost lore in the first half of the movie isn't fair.
I'm not blaming it on ghost lore alone. I'm blaming it on not establishing the characters well. I'm blaming it on not being funny at all. I'm blaming it also on not getting me into the ghost lore. Like, it failed on every possible level for
me. I just interpreted what you're saying completely differently, because you seem to imply that your biggest problem with the climax is that from the very beginning, they weren't establishing how ghosts work, and that they did that in the first Ghostbusters. But in this movie, they didn't focus on that at all in the first half of the movie. They were focusing on the characters and the team. Right. And them doing that poorly or not does not matter if you're going to talk about that, because it's not what's happening.
Right. What I was attempting to say is that everything failed for me from the beginning in the way that you were talking about it failing at the end for you. And so by the end, I was just fatigued. So
I see what you're saying, and I accept your apology.
I think what Rick is saying is he could have slept through the first half and it would have been just the exact same movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
If you woke up the moment that the guy commits suicide, you don't need to see the first half. Like, nothing that is established there would be necessary, except maybe that Chris Hemsworth is mentally challenged.
Can we talk about that suicide moment?
Yeah, that was so weird.
What?
Weird.
It doesn't matter, right?
It
feels like it didn't matter at all.
Death in this movie is really, really weird, because Bill Murray literally gets murdered in
their
place.
Why doesn't he come back as a ghost?
Why aren't they all in jail?
Exactly. Seriously. They die. He dies. The explanation they give to the police is a ghost pushed him out the window, and there are no further questions or consequences, anything at all.
Innocent
until
proven guilty, right?
Right. So then that's when the government has to step in and save them?
Yeah, like,
why is the government coming in and save them?
Oh my gosh. I hate this movie.
Oh my gosh. I still just want to talk about that suicide, because it's just, how is that part of the plan? Like, what?
Well, he has to be a ghost to take over and rule over everybody.
But how do you become a ghost? Like, how do you know that that's going to happen? Is it just the unfinished business bit that we never talk about?
I don't know that it's
probably in her book somehow. I don't know. There was apparently
the book was cool.
It's never touched on.
The book was cool.
The idea for the book was cool. The execution was awful. Like, I want to know desperately how this guy got to the point of understanding that, okay, I can build ghost bombs from the knowledge in this book.
So I think that there was some hints in his lair, so to speak, at the hotel. Like, it looked like he had a degree in something. It kind of panned over it quick, so you don't really see what it is in, what it's in, rather. But I have a feeling that he's on the same level as these women, but he's gone bad. Kate McKinnon's characters, you know, even says, you know, oh, I always hate to see the smart ones go bad. And it seems like, so he's really smart. He got the book, he read through and saw their theories, started applying it like they did. And they even go over it a little bit, but it's...
I mean, I mean, at the end of the day, if everything that they know about is contained in that book, and he's been studying that book for a long time, theoretically, he could get to the same point at least like a student, like apprentice level. And I sort of buy that as a plot point, but I just don't buy the staging of the plan. Like I in that moment when we were getting the book and I was getting ramped up, I was getting pretty excited. Like at that point, that was my favorite part of the movie. I was like, this looks like it's amping up to be something really crazy. I can't wait to figure out what like his plan was and how these pieces are going to fit together. But then just like, he's a ghost now. And I'm like, oh, but, okay, so how, when are we going to learn how he knew that would happen and what his next plan is? Okay, and it was to invade Chris Hemsworth, and then Chris Hemsworth just goes and does what he could have done earlier. Wait, what? Like, it just, it doesn't feel like, it feels like it thinks it's smarter than it is.
And I guess the thing, the implication is that it's because he, like, made himself a ghost at the ley line, but why is he so ridiculously powerful? Like, it's not like the rest of the ghosts are doing the things that he's doing.
Let's talk about the ley line as well. The ley line is like the dumbest thing. Like, here's the thing.
Now that is a thing.
Yeah.
No. I've heard about it.
Okay.
I've heard about it. But I know that there's like conspiracy theories tied with that as well. And so it's a cool thing to have in your story. The problem is we don't know about it until it's relevant. And I feel like if we had some hint early on, you know, sort of like a Chekhov's gun, because that would have been a really clever one, because it just sounds too like, you know, over the top and like over most people's heads to be something we'd want to remember.
We need a character Ray who would just expound about that at random, right. But it would sound like just utter nonsense.
But then later he's like, landlines. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And like that's, we'd remember, oh, that was the bull crap he was talking about earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
That's actually important. And that makes rewatching the movie more interesting. Instead of they just shouldn't have done that. Drop that knowledge on us in the middle of the movie, and it feels like it should be this big reveal for them because they're responding to it really strongly. But I don't respond to it strongly because I don't know what the hell that is, you know?
I feel like the movie, in the editing, you had mentioned on the editing before, I feel like they cut a lot out of this movie that they needed for plot. And I don't know if it was at the studio's behest or if the editor was just like, the heck with this. They don't need it. They'll figure it out. Whatever.
They'll be laughing at other stuff, so it'll be fine.
Right. They'll be laughing at the fart jokes.
I was really bummed that there wasn't a fart in that last scene.
Oh, really?
You have to wait until the very end.
I was really expecting it.
You know, it would have been really good if they had been like, what's Zool? And then like she was like, what? I want to hear.
Oh, that would have been so much funnier.
That would have been so much better.
I feel like you actually would have laughed at that.
I might have, except I'll be honest, that actually in my head now that I'm thinking about it sounds like shitting on the original property, which, to be fair, is what this movie did, so I don't care.
Nah,
I don't know.
It is not that much.
There's a lot of fanboys that'll be really pissed, but I don't know. I feel like
See, again, this kind of goes back to what I was talking about at the very beginning, this of how I think reboots should be done, and it's very much to embrace the spirit of the original, and this did not do that. In fact, it did. What I love about the original Ghostbusters is that it is extremely clever. There's a lot of very clever, well put together jokes in this, and this mostly feels like they put these ladies on screen and had them improv and then picked what they thought was the best of it, and I hate that style of comedy.
That's why I don't like Paul Feig.
It is awful.
He relies on his actors like 99%.
And it's not that improv jokes can't work. I just don't like this style of, it feels like we turned on the camera and did this 37 times and took the best so-called comedy out of it. And it just does not work for me. It never has.
I feel like there are some directors and movies that have definitely, like, you can feel that coming off of the actors. Like, they're just, they spouted a bunch of lines and then they took the best take. But I didn't necessarily feel that here. I feel like, yeah, it's kind of that school, but I feel like Paul Feig would be the best of it, you know, because it's a very conventional type of comedy right now.
If he's the best, man,
of that specific type of comedy. And I'm a fan of just comedy in general. So I think there's a place for that. I do think it is the most conventional and overplayed type of comedy right now, but from what I've seen of Paul Feig, I mean, I certainly don't think that it's purely faultable.
Just you haven't seen
half of one movie.
Yeah.
Is what you've seen, correct?
That's fair. That's
okay.
Fair. But I enjoyed that half of that one movie way more than you. It sounded like you disliked the other two movies that you've seen.
I did not care for them at all.
Yeah.
I kind of like the heat.
Yeah. So,
comedy is very subjective. So, I'm not trying to say like you should not have laughed at
any
of this stuff.
All things are very subjective to an extent.
I personally feel
you know?
There's certain things that are not subjective. Anyway.
The quality of editing, not subjective.
Well, sure, but we're talking about genres now. I mean, that's a pretty heavy statement to lay down,
like,
you know?
I feel like...
you can't say sci-fi is very subjective, you know? You can't say that drama is very subjective, but you're saying comedy is very subjective. And so
whatever it is that makes you laugh is very subjective. The genre, maybe not, fair. But all I'm saying is that, like, some people are going to laugh extremely hard at a fart joke. Some people are going to laugh really hard at a very well put together, cleverly done wordplay. And then there's some people that meet in the middle and love clever fart jokes. And I feel like this is just a fart joke.
That would be the best type of humor.
Right?
Clever fart jokes.
Right? And what does not work for me is that Ghostbusters, the original, very, very high on the clever end of things. This movie, not clever, not intelligent at all. It's just spouting crap at you and hoping you laugh.
Meh.
I did feel like there was a lot of times where people were just like gut laughing, and both times that I saw it, and I was sitting there going, I don't get it. What's funny about this?
And well, a lot of times I would be like, okay, I understand your attempt at humor, human. I do not, however, personally find it funny.
For me, it's comedy is more than the structure of the plot and the dialogue. It's also in the pacing of the moment in the edit bay, and it's also how the director chooses to block and move his actors within the frame. Mm-hmm. And again, Edgar Wright is, I think, the master at this.
Yes.
How in the Scott Pilgrim, there's that one scene where Knives comes to his house and his roommate, oh, Scott. And then you see Scott literally
dive out the window
as he's saying he's not, he just left.
You are absolutely correct. He is brilliant.
It is the pacing. It is the acting. It is everything about what is going on inside of that frame. And I feel like there are moments in this movie where that's totally what's happening. And I feel like there are moments where it is also not, where it's just lockdown camera, character says line. They rely on the cleverness of the words on the page to deliver the humor. And then it certainly does not work.
For me, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
But there, you know, that to say, you know, what I would say makes comedy work, and what, in my experience, everyone finds funny is when all of those pieces are coming together the way Edgar Wright works. I don't know a single person who hasn't liked an Edgar Wright movie. If I've met them, they're probably not just movie fans in general, because that's what makes any movie work, is being able to put all those elements together in a way that just sells whatever you are trying to do.
Right.
And anyone who's a master of that could sell almost any genre. And there's moments in this movie where I feel like that's happening, but it's not, certainly not consistent. So I can't call Paul Feig the master the way I can call that of Edgar Wright. But I would say that in its credit, that some of the comedy works, even though it might be one or either side of the spectrums you're talking about.
To me, the reason that the comedy doesn't work is that, for me, an essential element of comedy is the unexpected. You can't see the punchline coming from. And every single time I felt like I saw the joke coming ahead. I saw, okay, you're going to whine about the wonton again. Okay.
Oh, that was good.
That was not. It was not funny.
I loved it.
It was not funny. It was just, especially, hey, there's just one wonton in here, and then a carrot and poop. Ha ha.
I think what it was is those bits went on for so long.
And they came back.
And again and again. And they stretched things out that I feel like they could have left shorter.
And that's what I feel, what I'm talking about when I'm saying that they came on and just said, hey, you know, we're just going to turn the thing on, talk about this wonton for the next 20 minutes. And she tried.
Dang. Right.
Yeah.
And I looked this up on IMDb earlier. The original Ghostbusters once runs an hour and 45 minutes. This one runs an hour and 46 minutes. A minute longer, and I feel like they did not cram as much good
Only
in this.
Only a minute longer?
Only a minute longer. I know it felt like a lifetime to you. I could tell it felt like a lifetime.
I was actually a little surprised myself, because there were bits that certainly did drag for way too long. But man, the wonton bit leads to a really great wonton bit at the end.
Well, yeah, at the end, it's pretty, oh, we really like what you did. This is all wonton, like that.
This is literally,
funny.
I just want an they equal ratio not, of wontons and soup. That's all I'm asking for.
Which was funny, but to be fair, they just did it to death. I mean, it
if
was
they
like,
did
okay,
it in
the horse
background,
is dead, please stop.
What if they were doing it in the background while other stuff was going on? It's like, there's only one wonton in here. Like,
right,
like
which would have been
then
good.
Then the last bit would have been
Feig
super
was directing.
Funny.
That would have been clever.
Right.
This movie is not clever. It's just right up in your face. Like, this movie is a ball sack in your face. It's like, hey, laugh at this. Ha ha, ha ha. Look, it's in your face.
I don't think you get... I don't think that's comedy at all.
Neither do I! Exactly! That's why I'm saying it's horrible!
A ball sack in your face?
That's not funny!
That,
exactly.
That makes me uncomfortable the way you said now. Watching Chris Hemsworth's role made you uncomfortable. I do not want you to ever utter those words on this podcast again.
Ball sack.
No!
Lovingly. Inches. From your face.
Why?
Where you have to burn this part of the town.
Wafting in the breeze.
How is that like this movie?
It's how I felt the entire movie.
No! How? Oh my gosh.
Unshaven.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
What is happening? Why? I give up. I give up. It's a 3-star movie. I'm going to bed. Go to your cars.
And I have clearly, I've expressed to Chris the exact way I felt about that movie.
That's
what
so
you're
disgusting.
Feeling right now perfectly describes it for me. It's amazing to me, honestly.
Wow.
Because it was bad. That's why.
It wasn't that bad.
It was really bad.
You're saying this was as bad as Attack of the Clones?
Yeah.
What?
Well, okay.
No
way. Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
You're saying this is as bad as I am saying that Stranger Things is good.
I'm going to say this. I don't have the hatred for this movie because I don't have the love for Ghostbusters that I had for the original Star Wars movie. But I feel like this movie fails me on every conceivable level except for some very minor things. And that's more or less how I feel about Attack of the Clones. It fails on every level. It does not tell a good, coherent story. It's boring. I don't enjoy watching it. I don't laugh at it. I don't laugh at its jokes. Which movie am I talking about? Because it could be either.
I think you're definitely talking about Attack of the Clones. Should we go into our final thoughts?
Definitely.
All right. So you seem like you're already in the middle of yours. Would you like to go or I can start?
Just finish.
Go ahead and start.
Okay. So I would say that I liked the way that you put it, Brandon, when you first saw it and you gave me your little review. I found myself sort of looking for the moments where I was like, okay, this is going to be why it's bad. But I was also looking for moments where I was like, yeah, but it's being received fairly well. And I haven't heard anyone say that it's terrible that I know yet to have seen it. So I was caught in between two worlds through most of this movie where I was like, well, is this bad or is this good? And it's really weird because it's sort of mountains in the middle. I think that the middle of this movie is by far the best part of this movie. I think that the first 30 minutes or so are extremely weak and extremely uninteresting. But once Kate McKinnon's character comes into the screen and once Leslie Jones's character comes onto the screen, things sort of liven up and they become a lot more interesting. And I think that it really crescendos at that rock concert scene. It may not make a lot of sense given the lore that we talked about in this world that's being chosen to exist. But I feel like the comedic bits that were happening within that 20-30 minute chunk of the movie were the strongest. I feel like I was most invested in the characters. I was most invested in the story and, you know, in the journey that they were going on. Having said that, I also gut laughed a lot throughout this movie. Granted, it's pretty easy to make me laugh. I'm not a soft laugher. I like to laugh. I like to laugh with people. So being in a comedy in the theater, you're pretty much putting the odds in your favor for this movie to be a success with me. Having said that, as a complete journey from beginning to end, I have a ton of problems with this movie. And there's just a lot of things I could be like, I don't really get this. Having said that, there was also nothing that I felt like was just complete garbage, where I was just like, this is unforgivable. But there was certainly things I'm like, that's bad. Like, that should not have happened. So I'm super middle of the road with this movie. There's good things and there's bad things. There's no amazing things and there's no horrible things. It's middle of the road. And I'm leaning towards a little more good because I did enjoy it. Like, I am not disappointed that I saw it. And to me, that is my thumbs up, thumbs down review of anything. It's like, am I glad I saw this? You know, everything else aside, am I glad I saw this? Regardless of time, regardless of money I paid, am I glad I had this experience? And I am. I do recommend that the general audience member goes and sees this. You know, you may have been a Ghostbusters fan. You may be a hardcore Ghostbusters fan. You may not be a fan at all. I think that most people are going to find more things to like than things to dislike about this movie. And that was the case with me. So I recommend that you see it.
I hate this movie. This movie is,
what?
Is a absolutely awful. Like, it's really, really bad. There's the thing that stuck out to me that you said, Chris, was that you didn't find anything in the movie unforgivable. And with the possible exception of Chris Hemsworth and Kristen Wiig's interactions, I don't necessarily disagree. I don't find anything in this movie forgivable. I just don't have any reason to forgive it. There's nothing about this movie that I found worthwhile. There's nothing in it that I enjoyed particularly, other than the colors. Like, it just is a pretty movie, I think. I think the CGI works well, and it has some interesting designs for characters. But to me, if you are going to take a well-known property and attempt to reboot it, and especially if you are going to attempt to tie that to an issue like the way that gender is treated in this country, and say like, no, we're going to flip-flop it and we're going to show you that girls can be just as good as the guys. If you're going to try and do that, put forth your A game, man. Like, Chris, you even like this movie and you don't even think it's that great.
Well, let's not throw around. I thought it was enjoyable. I liked it category necessarily, but...
but do you see where I'm coming from? If you're going to try and pitch it as that, like, you should really try and make it an awesome experience.
Yeah, like, I suppose if we're going to open that can of worms, the one thing I would say is that for me personally, like, I see what you're saying and I completely agree, but I also feel like it almost feels like a blame the victim type of argument. You know, it's like the burden of proof is on the women to star in movies that are awesome if they're going to be reboots of originals, you know?
Right. Whereas, and I do specifically want to say, like, it's not that, it's that they seem to set this movie up. Like, the thing that I heard first was,
I think I know what you're getting at.
We're doing a chick flick. We're doing all girls Ghostbusters. It wasn't, we're doing Ghostbusters and we think we're going to do all girls this time. It was, no, we're going to go all girls this time with this Ghostbusters movie.
It's kind of like a girl power mantra.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it was. And I feel like that was what, caused isn't the word I want to use. I think that's what, in a sense, invited the MRAs to really just get up on this case.
I feel like I see what you're saying. You know,
and if you're gonna do that again, just make a good movie, please. And
we don't want to give them more ammunition in a way.
Don't pick Paul Feig to make your movie. That's
seriously, I agree completely. He is not a comedic genius. He's not even a comedian in my opinion. But like, yeah, that's what's in a way most disappointed at this movie, is that I would really like to see an awesome all-female Ghostbusters movie. That sounds like a lot of fun. If you had four characters on the level of Holtzman, this movie would be amazing. I would love that. That sounds great. If you had a decent story, that's all I need, is a decent story. That's all Ghostbusters has, is a decent story.
You mean this Ghostbusters?
No, the original.
Oh, well, it has more than that.
This movie has a shit show for a story.
I thought you were talking about the original. That's why I clarified. Because I was going to say it had more than
2016
that.
Ghostbusters, awful story, awful characters, except for Holtzman. Original Ghostbusters, good characters, acceptable story. That's all I need from that to make it a really good thing. And the solid comedy in that, the clever comedy in that. This just craps all over all of it. No, do not see this movie. Thumbs down as far as I can go.
I see what you're saying now.
Thumbs up to that.
I'm gonna cut it. Horrible, horrible thumbs up. That's comedy, everyone. That's how you do it.
Paul, if you're listening, cut out the do not, just recommend.
I can't wait to make a mashup of everything bad you've said about every movie and make it a run-on sentence that you end in highly recommend.
So, oh, man, go for it, man.
So initially in my first viewing, I had to put it like this. It was not as bad as I feared and not as good as I had hoped. And I feel like on second viewing, I still feel that way. But I enjoyed it a bit more this time. The first time I was going through looking for all of the bad parts. That said, so the middle of this movie, you get to the busting of the first ghost and capturing it. That, I feel like, was the absolute pinnacle of, man, this is awesome. This is Ghostbusters. This is so great. I can't wait for the end. And then the end happens, and it's horrible. They're lassoing ghosts and throwing them into cars, or they're just disappearing and disintegrating. Like, what? I thought we were catching ghosts and holding them indefinitely.
in a laser, grid. I mean, come on, this is Ghostbusters.
And it never comes up. Like, you never understand, like, why these guys are ghostbusting. In the original, it's very clear, like, why are these people doing what they're doing?
Right. They're trying to help people catch ghosts, make money, because Ray's got a third mortgage on a house that he can't afford anymore. Which is so great. And there's so much of this movie that I really desperately wanted to like. And to be fair, I actually like Kristen Wiig in this movie. Most other movies I've seen her in, I can't get behind her so much. In this movie, I actually liked her. I thought Leslie Jones turned it out and was great. I thought Kate McKinnon was awesome. Both of them being from Saturday Night Live, I just love it. Every time they're on, I dig it. Gosh, what else can I say? I feel like there was quite a bit of fan service. There was, I wish I could remember the time, but they said at 3:42 p.m., we caught this ghost. That was mentioned in the first one. There's just little things that anybody that's watched Ghostbusters, as many times as I have, which I'm not even going to try and figure out right now, but if you've seen it as many times as I have, you catch little things, and it feels good. But overall, I guess, I recommend going to see this movie. Whether you're a fan or not, I recommend going to see it. I would give it a solid 3 stars. I had been at 2.5, but I'm giving it a solid 3. I think it's worth the watch, and it's enjoyable. It's fun. All of that being said, I feel like there is fan fiction out there that would put together a better story than this. I feel like it would follow the characters better, even if it was all a female cast. I mean, really, I have no problem with that at all, but I feel like it just missed on story. So much of it I wanted to be there and was just not quite there. That's all I got to say about that.
Recommend, don't recommend?
Recommend. I recommend. You got to go see it. It's Ghostbusters.
I'm shocked. I was sure Chris was going to recommend it, but I'm surprised this movie got two recommends.
What does that mean?
Well, it's what a 70s.
You were laughing throughout the movie, so I assumed you liked it enough.
I definitely, it's so funny because the parts that like worked for me like worked so well, and the parts that didn't work for me like just worked so bad. Like I love the wonton bit, but there were some lines where they're just like, they'll just say something and like have like this wink at the camera, and I'm like, that's not funny.
That Stop. Monologue that dude yeah. did where he was like just staring directly into the camera was really weird, wasn't it?
I thought that was kind of cool, actually.
Really?
I thought it was really interesting.
What was that?
Evil dude in his lair. He like when we were first like seeing him in his lair, he's talking to himself. And then,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Then like he like talk like some chick shows up and says something, and then he's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And then he goes back to his mirror and like now he's looking directly at us. That was so...
I feel like it was supposed to be like wall. Super scary, but it just did not... It didn't come across that
breaking
way
the fourth wall is a really good way of just like shaking your audience up, like think of some way to like break the mold and do something that's unexpected
and
but
cheap.
I do well no I'm into it usually
in Deadpool yeah
well Deadpool's a more of in your face type of breaking the fourth wall, whereas this one he was just literally meeting the gaze of the audience. I thought it was kind of interesting. I didn't really get why it was happening, so I'm not going to like endorse that decision, but I thought it was interesting. Well, guys, we came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Absolutely.
Oh, dang it.
I was really hoping you're all going to join in.
Let's try
it.
Let's try
it. How am I the one?
I knew where you were going with it.
It's over.
It's not funny anymore.
It's not funny anymore. I'm just going to leave.
Chris. You guys are real Ghostbusters fans.
Chris, come back.
And I am whatever.
We came. We saw.
We saw. We kicked its
Chris's ass.
Kicked Chris's ass. Yes!
Do it again!
Still recording.
No!
Say whatever I want.
And that's another episode in the can. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Just a few quick reminders to check out our website, opinionatedpodcast.com, for more episodes and more goodness. There are polls. There are other episodes. It's kind of just that, actually. But it's cool. We promise it's cool. It's a neat layout, and it's fun. Please go there. Also, send us an email, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. Submit a movie you want us to watch. It could be something that no one's ever heard of but you, and you want to get the word out about it. And we will tell you, honestly, that there's a reason no one else has ever heard about it. Please, please consider leaving us a positive rating and review on the iTunes store. It means so much, and we really appreciate it. We read them all. We read everything. We read all of our emails. We read the reviews. We read. We know how to read, is I guess what I'm getting at here. Last but not least, special thanks to James Shively for composing this sweet jam that you're rocking out to right now. Our theme song, in fact. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.